Okay, so today we're diving into this blog post all about speeding up .NET apps. I mean, who doesn't love a snappy website, right? But have you ever stopped to think about what's actually going on in the background to make those pages load like lightning?
All comes down to optimization, right? And one of the most effective tools that developers have at their disposal is caching.
Caching.
Hashing. You know, it's one of those buzzwords you hear a lot in the tech world. But for those of us who don't live and breathe code every day, what's the easiest way to wrap your head around caching?
Okay, so imagine if you had to keep retracing your steps every single time you needed something you use all the time.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be a lot easier if you had a shortcut?
Oh,
That's essentially what caching is, creating a shortcut for your application to access data it uses frequently and to do it really fast. So instead of the app having to go back to the main database and grab the same data again and again, it can just pull a copy from this like readily available cache.
exactly. And when we're talking about web applications, that means faster loading times and a much smoother user experience.
I see, I see. You know, this blog post that you shared using ASP.NET Core output caching, it really piqued my interest because it talks about using Redis for something called a distributed output cache. And honestly, that just sounds really high level to me. What's the deal with that?
So this blog post is specifically talking about .NET 8.1 and beyond. And one of the big things they're talking about is how Service Stack now works really well with ASP.NET Core's routing for caching.
Hold on, Service Stack. Let's rewind for a sec. For those who might not know, what is Service Stack in this context?
It's basically a framework, like a set of tools, that makes building certain types of applications, especially APIs, way smoother. And what's really cool is how easily Service Stack and ASP.NET Core can work together now for caching, which wasn't always the case.
So like a match made in caching heaven.
Exactly.
I like it.
Yeah.
Okay, but let's get to what really got me excited. Redis. It's like strapping on multiple turbochargers instead of just one, am I right? This whole concept of distributed caching, tell me more.
You're right on the money. See, the default way ASP.NET Core handles caching is in memory. And while that is super fast, it's limited to just one server. Redis, on the other hand, is like this dedicated high-speed cache that multiple servers can access, which is perfect for larger applications that need to handle a ton of traffic.
Oh, wow. So instead of each server having its own little cache, they all share this giant, super fast one with Redis. That's incredible.
Yeah, it's like a shared memory bank that all of your servers can access for like crazy fast data retrieval.
That's awesome. This is all sounding amazing for performance, but you know, the blog post does mention that caching is a bit of a quote balancing act. What's the catch?
Well, you see, it's not quite as simple as just caching everything, right? Some types of data, like stock prices or, you know, breaking news, those things change super frequently. Caching that stuff could actually end up showing users outdated information.
Ah, so you don't want to show someone yesterday's news when they're expecting to see the latest updates.
Exactly. And that's where those invalidation strategies that are mentioned in the blog post, that's where they come in. It's all about being strategic and deciding, okay, what are we going to cache? How long are we going to keep it cached for? And when do we need to refresh that cached data to make sure it's still accurate?
Right. So it's all about finding that perfect balance between speed and freshness. And I really appreciate how the blog post dives into some code examples because it's one thing to talk about these concepts, but it's a whole other thing to actually see it implemented in code.
Oh, for sure. Seeing how it all comes together in practice makes a huge difference. And the code snippets in this blog post do a great job of showing you how to set up caching for all sorts of different scenarios. For example, let's say you've got an e-commerce site with, I don't know, thousands of products, right? Now, instead of having to go and fetch all of the product data every single time someone visits a product page, you could cache the data for each product individually.
Oh.
And that way, the next time someone wants to see that same product, boom, it can be served almost instantly.
So it's like having this personalized cheat sheet for each product that's just ready to go at a moment's notice. No need to sift through that entire database again.
You got it. That's a great way to think about it. And this kind of approach, where you're caching things at a more granular level, it can really lighten the load on your servers and improve those response times, especially for data that's accessed frequently.
Makes sense. Now, the blog post also mentioned something called hash profiles. It sounds like that's a way to kind of, I don't know, streamline your caching strategies. What's the general idea there?
So think of cache profiles as like these pre-configured caching rules that you can apply to different parts of your application. It's kind of like instead of having to manually specify every single caching parameter each time, you can define these profiles with your desired settings, and then you can simply associate them with like your controllers or your actions within ASP.NET Core.
So it's all about working smarter, not harder. Less repetitive code, more efficient caching.
Love it. Now, before we move on, we do have to address the elephant in the room, and that's the actual implementation of a Redis output cache store. I mean, that sounds like it could be pretty intimidating. I'll be honest, when I got to that part of the blog post, I was kind of bracing myself for like a mountain of complex configurations.
Yeah, it's definitely a bit more involved than just setting up basic in-memory caching. But I have to say, the blog post does a really good job of breaking it down into steps that are actually manageable. And it even gives you a simplified example using the ServiceStack.redis client, which is super helpful. Oh, nice. So it's not just theoretical. It actually gives you the tools and the guidance to put this into practice, which is awesome. But, you know, let's just take a step back for a second. For someone who's listening to this and thinking about, you know, maybe trying out caching for the first time, what's the one key takeaway they should walk away with?
You know, even if you're working on a smaller .NET project, I would definitely encourage you to at least play around with the built-in output caching features in ASP.NET Core. Because even with something as simple as in-memory caching, the performance gains can be pretty significant.
So it's like the gateway drug to these more advanced caching techniques we've been talking about. You start small, get comfortable, and then unleash the power of Redis when you're ready to really scale up.
Exactly. Think of it as a journey. And this blog post is like a roadmap guiding you through everything from those basic implementations all the way to more complex setups with Redis.
And speaking of Redis, you used that phrase earlier. You said caching is a balancing act. And that's really stuck with me throughout this whole conversation.
And it's such an important point. You know, caching isn't some kind of magic solution that just fixes everything. And it's not always the right approach for every single problem you encounter. You have to really think about those trade-offs we talked about, the invalidation strategies, and whether the data you're dealing with is even a good fit for caching in the first place.
Right. So it's all about making smart choices. You have to weigh those benefits of speed and performance against the potential risks of showing users stale data. And that's where a really good grasp of these tools and techniques becomes so crucial.
Absolutely. And that's why I think this blog post is so valuable. Because it doesn't just throw a bunch of code at you and say, good luck. Mm-hmm. It actually encourages you to approach caching thoughtfully, to really consider the nuances and the potential pitfalls.
It's about giving developers the knowledge they need to make the best choices for their specific applications for their users. And you know what? That's actually a perfect final thought for our listeners today. If you found yourself really intrigued by the potential of Redis, but you're not quite ready to, you know, dive headfirst into a full-blown implementation, why not take some time this week to just explore Redis on its own? Maybe spin up a free instance in the cloud, play around with the interface, experiment with some basic commands. I think you might be surprised by how approachable it actually is.
I love that. Sometimes the best way to learn is to just roll up your sleeves and get your hands dirty. And who knows, that little exploration could be the key to unlocking a whole new level of performance and scalability for your applications.
Well said. And that's what the deep dive is all about, sparking your curiosity, giving you the knowledge to ask the right questions, and empowering you to explore further on your own. Until next time.